Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a blessing it has already been just being here in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 128, the book of Psalms, chapter 128, six verses here. We're going to read all six verses. I believe this is the passage of scripture that God has for us today, and looking forward to what God would speak and what he would say to each one of us through it. Psalms chapter 128. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the word of God together, beginning in verse 1 and read down to verse 6. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shalt the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you again today, we thank you for what we've already experienced as just being in this place. But now, Father, as we have opened up your holy word, God, we desire for you to speak to us as we look at this passage of scripture and present its truth. I pray, God, that each and everyone here would have that ear to hear exactly what you have for them today. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In Psalms chapter 128, God is actually addressing the man. As he addresses the man, he mentions his wife, children, and grandchildren. What God is doing is he gives a description of a healthy home. Verse 2, he says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, but happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." Happy and well. That's a healthy home. Can I tell you, as we understand God, as we take the Bible and look at it as being God's holy word for humanity to learn of the very thoughts and mind of God, clearly we find that it's God's desire to bless all families around the world. In the Old Testament, when he gave the Abrahamic covenant in chapter 12 of Genesis, he said, "I will bless them that bless thee." Talking about Abraham and the nation that he would establish, being the nation of Israel. "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Establishing in the Old Testament God's children Israel to be the people that would represent God to the world, his desire was, as they would look to that they would turn to the God of Israel. And as they turned to the God of Israel, then they could receive God's blessings upon their families. Whatever people, whatever nationality that would be. In this particular passage of scripture, in this psalm, he describes the wife in verse 3 as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Healthy, happy, and healthy family. In describing the wife, this fruitful vine. A fruitful vine is a very healthy vine producing plenty of fruit. And if you're a gardener, then you understand that if the vine gets sick, if the vine is not healthy, it will not produce healthy fruit. But if the vine is healthy, then you'll find that there's a lot of fruit coming out of it. And that's the wife. As the wife is healthy when it comes to the things of God, you'll find her life being used to produce much fruit in the home. His children, the Bible says, is like olive plants round about thy table. Olive plants provided oil for the house. That means that it would be the olive plant, would represent something that would benefit the home. And when the children are healthy, when the children understand God's plan for their lives, can I tell you, they will benefit the home. They will benefit the atmosphere. They will benefit the joy. They will benefit the happiness in the home. Oh, that all had a healthy home. Hearing a lot about the debates, we've heard the Republican side of it. This week we'll hear the Democratic side of it and all the different things taking place, and everyone has their own opinions. And praise the Lord, we live in a free nation where you have freedom to think for yourselves. But can I tell you, the solution is a healthy home. The solution in America, the solution in every nation around the world, is a healthy home. I think that the Bible says in this, we have, thou shalt be the happy thou shalt be, and it shall be well with thee. Happiness and wellness. I think all can relate to the idea of what it's like when you're sick versus and compared to what it's like when you're healthy. When you're healthy, I mean, you're got some energy and you're wanting to get things done. You're wanting to do whatever it is that can be done, that needs to be done. And when you're healthy, you have reason to rejoice and you're happy and excited about life. But then on the flip side of that, when you're sick, now some handle sickness better than others. Amen. But most of the time we're sick, we think, I don't want anybody to be around except for those who are going to help me to feel better. I don't care about communications. I don't want this. I don't want that. Leave me alone, except bring me what I need. And when you're sick, you don't have the energy. When you're sick, you don't have the enthusiasm. When you're sick, you don't have what you have need of to do whatever, to have produce fruit. But when you're well and you feel healthy and strong, what a difference. Know that all had a healthy home to go home to. Our young people are raised in a healthy home. The difference it will make in how they live their lives. Can I tell you that Satan has always attacked the home? And he's attacked the home through attacking God's covenant. You turn from God's covenant and the home suffers. If we look at the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, when they were in agreement with the covenant of God and they were being all that God wanted them to be, you know who benefited from that more than anyone else? The home. They had a healthy home to go to. The men of the house were well, and the women of the house were well, and the children of the house were well. They had the blessings of God. They had plenty. They had wellness. They had happiness when they were in conjunction with the covenant with God. They had God's blessings. When Satan would blind them to God's will and God's blessings, and they would actually turn from that, what would suffer would be the homes. Very same thing holds true today. God's covenant with the church. The church's health is dependent upon the health of the families of the church. And when the families of the church turn away from God's covenant that He's made with them, they turn away from God's blessings. And if you don't have God's blessings upon the homes, then you find that the church will suffer along with the homes. So this morning, I want to preach a message to you that things that rob us from having a healthy home. Things that rob us from having a healthy home. As we find here in verse 128, I believe this reveals to us, it describes a healthy home. The first thing that will definitely rob us from having healthy homes is ignorance of God. Not truly knowing God, nor His ways. Verse 1, the very, very, very first statement that the psalmist makes is, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, that walketh in His ways. In order to fear God, you have to know who God is. And once you know who God is, you can't help but to reverence Him. You can't help but to want His blessings. You can't help but fear being on God's wrong side, if you will, by turning away from God and what that would bring into our lives. In the Old Testament, most of the world rejected Abraham's God. And thus, because of that, they followed after other gods, and they did not have the blessings of God, and they did not have healthy homes. But when Israel rejected Abraham's God, which Israel's the seed of Abraham, and Abraham, God gave the Abrahamic covenant, and God says, I will bless thee. And I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse those that curse thee. And so if people will turn to the God of Abraham, then they can have the blessings of God. And it's God's desire that all the whole world be blessed, all the families, not just the nations, but all the families of the world would be blessed by understanding Abraham's God and the covenant that God would make with Abraham and the covenant that God would make to all people that would look to Him. And it's the very same day, the very same thing today with the church. The church that Jesus Christ established, God has ordained His church. God has put His hand upon His church. And God does His work in this New Testament church age through His church. And the people that support His church are the ones that can have God's blessings upon their lives. And those that turn against His church will not receive the blessings, but they will receive somewhat the curse of God. That means that God will lift their hand. And when God lifts His hand of protection, I guarantee you there is an evil force that desires to come in and to destroy not only the nation, but it begins with destroying the home. Ignorance of God. In America, more and more people are living their lives ignorant. I didn't say they're stupid. I didn't say that they don't have any intelligence, but they are ignorant. That means they do not have the knowledge of who God is. We go out door-to-door soul winning, and I go visiting different ones, and just to sit down with individuals and talk to them about God, and it amazes me how ignorant people are concerning God and His ways. Too many do not know. If they don't know God, then how can they fear God? How can they reverence God? If they don't know God, if they do not fear God, then how can they walk in His ways? Things that rob us from having a healthy home, I think the most important thing, the thing that robs us above all else, is ignorance of who God is. And can I tell you that God says, I've written it down for you. I've written it down. I've preserved it. Promise that even though heaven and earth will pass away, my words shall never pass away. No one who can read ought to be ignorant of who God is. Yeah. We must learn of who God is, and then we can experience His blessings. We must learn of who God is, because once you learn of who God is, then you will understand what God expects out of humanity. And when you understand what God expects out of humanity, when you know who God is, you will be more inclined to walk in His ways. If you believe in God, any wise person would want to know of His expectations. The church's job is to educate people as to who God is. Amen. Amen. Starting with helping them to understand salvation, which is written down. Don't have to go by the philosophies of man. You don't have to go by denomination. Don't have to go by religion. You can just take the Bible, say, this is God's word, and this is what God says about salvation, about having a home in heaven, about knowing as you live this life, when your life on this earth is over, you have and you can expect everlasting life with God for an eternity. First of all, understand who God is and understand what God's will is. God's will is that no one should perish, but that all should come to that place of repentance and receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Listen to me. The church's job is to evangelize the world. What that is helping people to know who God is. And then discipling them that they might understand God's expectations of how we live our lives. And when we do that, we can have healthy homes. And a healthy home will raise healthy children that will benefit society instead of looking to destroy society. Yeah. Ignorance. The next thing, things that rob us from having a healthy home is a lack of commitment. Verse 2, for thou shalt eat the labor. The labor means I've got to do something. I've got to do my part. I've got to work of thy hands. And once I labor, once I understand God and I look to walk in his way and I actually labor to do that, happy shall thou be and it shall be well with thee. Then the blessings, the promises of God, but they have to follow this idea of commitment. A commitment to God and a commitment to live my life according to his will. Once a person understands, it's no longer ignorance. Most of the time, it's just a lack of commitment to do what you know God would have you to do. There's a lot of excuses and a lot of things that Satan will bring into our lives, and there's a lot of things that this world will bring into your life to keep you from basically doing the basics of Christianity. But there is no excuse for not doing that. If you know who God is, the only thing that you are lacking is a commitment to doing it. We are to labor to walk in his ways. We are not to be sluggards. Sluggard. Most people don't even understand what that word means, but it is a biblical word. Matter of fact, look there with me, Proverbs chapter 13. It's somebody that's not willing to labor. It's somebody that's not willing to work. It's a lazy individual. You know what you ought to be doing, but you're just too lazy to do it. You know how you ought to be living your life. You know how you ought to be serving God. You know how you ought to be God-fearing. And you know how what God wants you to do. You understand his expectations. But for some reason, you're just not doing it. And the reason boils down to a lack of commitment. In Proverbs, in chapter 13, in verse 4, the Bible says this, the soul of the sluggard, that person says, I can't get myself to do it. I'm just lazy. I just can't be committed, whatever it might be. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat, shall be healthy, shall be well. That'll help us understand. Man, I want to, whatever it takes, I want a healthy home. Whatever it takes, I want to commit myself to having a happy home. It's going to take labor. See, once you know, you need to commit yourself to doing it. Commit to it. Most people, when they truly set their mind to getting something done, and you commit all of yourself and your resources toward it, most of the time, you can get it done. People are not wanting to commit to anything spiritual today. And the most important thing that we commit to is that which is spiritual. Yeah. Stop allowing ourselves to question it. Stop listening to people who want to try to hinder your faith and your commitment to God. We ought to commit to the place that I will say, I will either do it or I'll die trying. I am committed to being a Christian. I understand what being a Christian is all about, is being Christ-like in every area of my life. I am committing myself to being Christ-like for the rest of my life. I need to commit myself to that and say, or I'll die trying. It's something that is worth my life. I'm going to commit myself to being the Christian man that God wants me to be. Understanding, first of all, having the knowledge of what God has for you as a Christian man. And then your commitment after you have the knowledge of having a commitment saying, I am going to commit to being what God wants me to be as a Christian man, or I will die trying. As a woman, you need to have that type of commitment where you're going to say, I am going to commit myself to being the woman that God wants me to be, or I will die trying. It's that important to me. It's worth me dedicating my life to marriage, family, happiness, and wellness follows. Things that rob us from having a healthy home, ignorance. If that's not the case, then a lack of commitment. The last thing this morning, bitterness. Bitterness is an emotion that stems from wrong thinking. See, because whatever's gone on, you're not looking to and trusting in God to help you to do what needs to be done. Look what he says here. Go back there to our text here. Look in verse 4 down to verse 6. Amen. Everybody follow me this morning? Come on, Father, this is important stuff right here. This affects every one of us. It affects not only this church, it affects our nation, and it will affect our world today. If you look here in Psalms chapter 128, verse 4, the Bible says, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Thou shalt. God said, these are things that are my promises to you. This is what I will do if you do your part. But we're allowing Satan to mess with our minds. And with that, emotions. You're allowing your mind to stay focused on things that you have no control over. And because you have no control over and it's not what you thought you would have or not something that you desire, then a bitterness starts creeping up. Because you don't have the relationship and marriage that you thought you would have at this stage in your life. You don't have the relationship with your children. You don't have the financial security. You don't have this. You don't have that. For you know it, all these negative things. And you think, God, if you're real, then why? And your mind gets filled with all the negative thoughts, which leads to an emotional feeling of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm almost done. This is it. Hebrews chapter 12. You're allowing your mind to stay focused on things that you have no control over. And bitterness is an emotion that stems from wrong thinking. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. God had just told about how he will chasten his children. If you're God's child, there will be chastisements. But then right after he reveals to us about this chastisement, he says, wherefore, child of God, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Get over discouragement. Get over negative thinking. Get over that negative thinking that not only leads to discouragement, but leads to being bitter toward God, toward a husband, toward a wife, toward children, toward parents, toward a nation, whatever it might be. He says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Get on the right track. Understand who God is. Understand what God would have you to do, and get on that track and start doing it. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Holding on to a sickness that's keeping you from having a healthy life and a healthy home. You need to get away from that. You need to turn away from it and get back on the right path. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest, if you don't do it, any man fail of the grace of God. You got the grace of God to do it. Lest any root of bitterness. Not looking to the grace of God. You're not looking to get on the right path. You're not looking to fear God and do walk in his ways. And this bitterness is keeping you from loving God. This bitterness is keeping you from living for God. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, troubling you, and thereby many be defiled. See, it's not God not doing his part, it's us not doing our part. We will eat the labor of thine hands. And if you are eating the labor of your hands and you're laboring as God would have you to labor, happy shalt thou be. And it shall be well. Oh, that all had a healthy home. Can't change anything about the past. Nothing. Can't let the past control your future. You can't allow the past to cause you to have wrong thinking that leads to a bitter spirit, that leads to wrong thinking of God and expectations that he has of us. I would trust and I would hope that everyone here today want to go out these doors and say, God, give me a healthy home. And it starts with me. Doing what I know you would have me to do. Strive to have a healthy home. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Healthy home. What this nation and every other nation around this planet needs is healthy homes. Raising children as God would have us to raise children in a healthy environment that will make a difference in society around the world. It begins with God's family. Begins with God's church. Oh, how important it is for us to have healthy homes. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you this morning for this psalm that reveals so much, for helping us to see what needed to be seen. And I trust, God, that that would be the case, that there would not be one person walk out of this auditorium, whether it be man, woman, teenager, but all would walk out of here with a greater commitment to fear God and to walk in your ways, to do our part in having happiness and wellness in our homes. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.